ready. It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 157 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. I'm sure you're going to enjoy this episode because we have the return of Sam Johnson, one of the creators of the Almighties, of which their Zero issue has just come out. And he talks about that and his other projects as well, including Geek Girl and Cappuccini Voodoo Junkie Hit Woman. Then I continue my yearly holiday tradition, and I'm sure you're going to enjoy that too. It's 'Twas the Dark Night Before Christmas. There's a lot to get to, so let's get on with the show. I want to welcome back to the podcast Sam Johnson, creator of many good things, including Geek Girl and The Almighties, among other things. How are you doing today, Sam?
I'm good, thank you. How are you, Wayne?
Good, good. Now, I understand there's an Almighties issue zero that's out that people can get. So why don't we go ahead and talk about that, because the last one I saw, I think, was number one.
Yeah.
And so number zero is out. Do you want to talk a little bit about why you did a number zero?
Yeah, well, basically, The Almighties 1 was released to coincide with the Avengers movie, and it was a kind of Marvel parodying book. Now, Zero is the Almighty sort of moving on from being a parody comic and being their own, though it's still a comedic comic, this is the Almighty sort of in their own right. So what's happened is after issue one, the team had like fallen apart due to them finding out that they've been put together by a crazy Nazi. And what's happening in issue zero is Stefanos, who's the Greek kebab house owner that also does work for Barack Obama and is also part of the, or was a part of the Almighties. Someone else at the White House called Joe Cyborg is looking to put together the White House's first super team. So he brings in Stefanos to review the dossiers of his former teammates to see whether or not they might be a good idea, because there is a question mark, because the Almighty is being comprised of Mason, who's a borderline psycho, Nightfang, a cocky British punk / werewolf, Maxitron, Armored Ego Maniac, and Miss F, who has anger issues due to having just come out of an oppressive marriage. So they're quirky. So Joe Cyborg has seen that they worked well together, knows they've kind of got Mr. Obama's recommendation, but, you know, isn't without reservations. So he and Stefanos get together at the start of issue zero to go through these dossiers and see whether the Almighty should be brought back as was. If not, he's got a backup plan in the form of a parodying of Deadpool character called Wayne Winston. So that basically sets up your issue zero.
Okay, because I know you're a big Deadpool fan. You want to write Deadpool at some point, and so it's kind of interesting that you developed your own character that is something like Deadpool.
Yeah, as you say, Deadpool is a character I've wanted to work on for a long time. I'm not at the level, I'm not enough a big enough name for that to be realistic at this time, but I have a pitch, and I hope to, you know, get to the level where I get to make that pitch. But Wayne Winston is... It's interesting where we go with him, because the first thing that I always like to field with this character, now he's seen the light of day, is that Deadpool was already a parody. How do you parody a parody? Mm-hmm. And we do, and by basically cranking it up another notch, whereas Deadpool's already very over the top, where we go further with Wayne Winston, and basically... You'll notice the name Wayne Winston is a spin on Wade Wilson, which is Deadpool's name. We don't have an equivalent of a Deadpool name for him, because the direction this character is actually going to go in is going to be quite different from what you would expect from a Deadpool character. And he will, as all the Almighties, whereas in the original issue one, which we've also got a new version, a new variant out of to tie in with the release of Zero, whereas that was parodying the Avengers somewhat, parodying big Marvel events. The characters weren't, you know, sort of knockoffs of the Avengers. They're their own characters. So that's the component, the parody, but they are rounded. They're not caricatures. They're their own thing. And the same thing will happen with Wayne Winston, as has happened with the Almighty's.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's interesting because we don't see this Wayne Winston in issue number one, but he's in issue number zero, so obviously something happens that makes it that he doesn't appear in that issue.
Well, he's introduced in issue zero in the context of Stephanos and Joe Cyborg putting the Almighty's back together. He's only there at this time as a question mark. So if the Almighty's are put back together, but perhaps, for example, Nightfang is the one that Joe has the biggest reservations about. If they're missing a member, then that would be where Wayne comes in.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All righty. Now, issue number one is out, and issue number zero. Now, I noticed recently that your stuff is going out on Comixology.
Yeah, issue one came out, I think it's fairly recent that they started Comixology Submit, which is, as an indie publisher, you can submit their stuff direct to them. So The Almighty's One came out there sometime after it originally came out in print. And then, you know, we've kind of got like an Almighty slot now, so there was no problem getting issue zero out there as well. And it's a good platform to have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because a lot of people now, I see more people switching over to digital than getting the print. Because, you know, let's face it, like with your book, you know, you have to print it over in England. You have to probably have to ship it over here or something like that. And so it has to get distributed to the different stores, where if you're on a website, pretty much anybody these days can access a website and download it digitally and be able to read it.
Yeah, I mean, what we're doing, It's not quite as difficult as that in terms of the print, because Mike Gagneau, the co-creator, is in Canada, so there's that. But what we've done this time, though you can get it in print, and you can get that via actualitypress.com, we've also done like a limited variant edition, which is parodying, I don't know if you're aware of, there was some controversial DC t-shirts recently.
Yes.
One of which was basically, it might as well have said, "Wonder Woman, hi, I'm Superman's bitch." So we've done a parody of that with Stephanos and his hooker slash sort of girlfriend. And we're just doing that as a collectible. So that is just going to be, you get that direct from me, and it's just going to be available on eBay. So has that sort of collectible value to it, as well as I like it just as this cover. I mean, I wasn't impressed with that whole Superman Wonder Woman thing. So this is our answer to that.
Okay, because I noticed also too, I've been reading comments about your book, about The Almighty's, and a lot of people say that there's a lot of comedy involved with it. It's actually one of the funnier books that they've read. Did you guys aim for that when you were putting it together?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, I wanted to do a comedy book, and also, whereas my books like Geek Girl and Carbaccini, Voodoo Junkie Hitwoman, have comedic elements to them, I specifically wanted to do an out-and-out comedy superhero book, and that was why I hooked up with Mike Gagnon, because I was going for a kind of, as you have with your sitcoms in America, a lot of them involve like a team of writers. So that was what I was originally going for when we started it, and that facilitated like Nightfang and Mason are Mike's characters, so that facilitated joining our characters together. But then I found that we worked well together, and so well that we didn't need anyone else. So whereas initially I was looking to have maybe a team of writers working on it, it works fine with just Mike and I. And yeah, issue one is the best reviewed thing of anything I've done.
Great. Now, issue zero, and is issue zero available in print in the US now?
Yeah, again, the best place for you to get it is just to go to actualitypress.com. You can get it in print off that, because it's going to be pretty hard to find, I would imagine, otherwise.
You mail it out?
Well, if you get it off there, it links you to Indie Planet. So you get get it from any planet. And their shipping used to be quite high, and now it's not. So it's not an expensive operation.
So it's something like, because Amazon has that thing where if you buy a certain book, then they'll print it and then they'll mail it to you. And is that sounds like the same situation there.
Yeah, well, IndiePlanet just does print on demand. So they've got the files and they just print out every time they get an order. So there's no, you know, you don't have the risk of having to, you know, get a mass stock of copies printed before you know how well they're going to sell. So it's a good thing for indie creators. You can literally, if you wanted to, just print one copy.
Great. Well, that's good. Now, of course, that website's also where we get number one, right?
Yeah. One, and I mean, if you just, as I say, actualitypress.com will take you there, but if you go on Indie Planet and put the Almighty's into the search, it'll bring them both straight up. And as I say, if I haven't already said, there's a new variant of issue one out as well to tie in with issue zero's release.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so issue zero, issue number one, are you guys planning to make an issue number two?
Well, issue number two, the thing with it, we want to do a series, but everyone involved in it, and there's quite a few people involved with it, we have a team of artists on it, has other commitments, and it's taken quite a long time to put issue zero together as it did issue one. Also, we want to build the audience, so having it be staggered the way it has facilitates that. There's a Facebook group called Almighty's Amass, and there's 4,000 in that now. So whereas if we went straight for a series, it's kind of make or break straight on that, whereas doing it with this gradual one-shots, we're hopefully building up the audience ahead of hopefully having a series out, and then hopefully the audience will be there for that. So issue zero just come out, and there'll be hopefully another one shot next year. It's certainly been scripted a long time, and a fair chunk of the artwork for it's done.
Well, if it comes out next year, might it come out before the Avengers Age of Ultron movie comes out?
No.
No?
No. I mean, I always say never, you know, sort of give, like, we, when we said Almighty's Origins, which was the free previews comic for issue zero came out, we'd build that as coming out in 2013. And we were never any more specific than that because, you know, there's a lot of variables. As an indie publisher, you don't want to say it's going to be out on this time and then it's not. So it's best to leave that as open as you can because, you know, you'll lose audience if you say your book comes out this date and it doesn't. So I can say categorically it will not be out before the Age of Ultron. And, you know, again, also, whereas the first one was an Avengers parodying thing, we're moving on from that now. The Almighties are their own thing. And whereas this issue zero has there'll always be parody elements to it because the nature of the book is it kind of pokes fun at the genre. But it's the Almighties on their own now, so it won't be in any way tied to the Avengers going forward.
So the bad guy won't be singing any Disney songs in your movie.
No, although, well, you know, as I say, parody elements are still going to be there. So I wouldn't rule out, you know, once we've seen the Avengers Age of Ultron, having something poking a little fun at that in a future Almighty's comic. The main part of the story will not involve a villain singing Disney tunes.
Oh, thank goodness. That has, you know, Marvel may regret doing that because they have had there have been so many parodies of that trailer. Some people really love the trailer.
Yeah.
But to me, when they started singing Pinocchio music, I was just kind of like, okay, that's a little odd, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, I never got past, I was, oh, this Ultron sounds exactly like James Spader. And it's like, I knew James Spader was going to be playing Ultron, but he has such a distinctive voice, and having just been watching him on The Office, which we don't have over here. I've been watching on DVD, and the series where he comes into the office and as a great character, but a very distinctive voice. And having literally gone straight from almost watching those episodes back to back to the Age of Ultron, I'm just like, oh, it's James Spader.
Mm-hmm. He's on the blacklist too.
Yeah. Oh, he's great.
Yeah, he's one of they picked him for a voice, and he does a very deep and rumbly voice. It's going to be interesting to see how the movie flies, because he's such a very serious character in the comics, and yet the second trailer that they put out had all the different Avengers trying to pick up Thor's hammer with a very comedic feel to it.
Yeah.
So it's going to be kind of interesting for that.
I think the Avengers, there'll always be that comedy element to it, especially with Downey Jr. as Tony Stark, but I think with the direction they're going in, I mean, they're talking about setting up Civil War in the Marvel movies, it's not going to be, you know, knockabout. I think it's going to be getting kind of darker, really.
Okay. All right. So the Almighty's number zero is out. Number one is out. You can get them. Say again what the website is to go and get those.
Actualitypress.com.
Okay. And also, if you want a digital version, you can go to Comixology.com and get them there. So that's really good. That's going to be fun. If you enjoy team books, this is a good team book for you to get to add to your collections. I think it's really good for that. And while I've got you there, Sam, why don't we talk about your other projects and get an update on where they are. Geek Girl, how is Geek Girl doing these days?
Geek Girl, it's going. It's slow because the artist on it has a lot of other commitments, but it's progressing. Basically, the artwork is pretty much finished on issue two. We're not releasing anything until all four issues are done. In the meantime, Geek Girl Zero went to a third print, which you can still get. You can get that at the Actuality Press website as well. My friend's still dressing up as cosplay for we're doing a convention, actually a cosplay convention in April in the UK called Yorkshire Cosplay Con. The Geek Girl, I mean, if you want to sort of see what's going on with the In the Works series, I quite often post preview artwork and stuff at the Geek Girl Facebook group, so it's still, you know, sort of a visible thing. But the thing is, whereas the Almighties, we've got a lot of artists and it's one shots that can be done in a comparatively short amount of time compared to what it takes to do a four-issue miniseries if you've got it, you know, the intention of having one artist hopefully do all of it. And even if the artist did just, say, two issues of it, that takes a lot of time versus one issue when you've got a team of artists working on it.
Mm-hmm. Now, for people who may not be familiar with Geek Girl, why don't you give the basic premise for Geek Girl?
Geek Girl is in Maine, in America. There's a college called Acorn Ridge. A guy there who's a kind of brainiac college geek called Trevor Goldstein invents these super tech glasses which render their wearer with super strength and flight powers. Now, he's done these because he's been crushing on this waitress for about 6 months who's got like this sort of hunk of a boyfriend who he feels he can't compete with. So he feels, yeah, let's give myself superpowers and that'll work. And unfortunately, that's the setup from his point of view. But then due to his friend getting drunk, they end up losing these glasses to a hot college chick, it girl, called Ruby Kay in a game of strip poker. So it's kind of, you could say, fate taking a hand. But the question over Ruby Kay is, she hangs with the cool kids. They're a fairly surface level bunch. One of her friends being Karen Carpenter, who's an uber bitch. So are these glasses in the right hands? Well, whether they are will be determined on, you know, with great power comes great responsibility, what she does with them and how she changes as a result of these glasses. So that's kind of the, we set things up in the issue zero, and that's where we're going to be going with the mini series when she is thrown headlong into the world of tights and capes.
Great. Well, I've read some of it, and it's a very funny book, very good book. You feel for her because of what she's going through and, you know, trying to figure out where she belongs. And, of course, after being one of the cool crowd, when you something challenges that, she's got a lot to consider when the glasses come into her life.
Yeah, well, the glasses affect her mentally and physically in ways that she's not necessarily all that aware of due to a glitch in their programming. So the first thing that happens is, as I say, they affect her physically by and render her kind of klutzy, which causes her to spill drinks over her cooler than thou friends, which is, you know, you just don't do that. So that's with the flimsiness of these relationships, that on its own is enough to kill some of those friendships right there. But she gets to find out who her true friends are, or who her true best friend is, which is Summer, who is right behind her with the whole superhero thing, is perhaps more excited about it than Ruby herself.
Great. Now, well, with Geek Girl, what's the latest issue that's come out?
Well, it's the third print of issue zero. As I say, the mini, nothing's going to be out there until all four issues are in the can.
Okay. Are you going to print them all at once, or are you going to release them individually?
Oh, individually, yeah. But it's going to be a while, yeah.
Okay. Now, will they be in comic stores, or will we go through Actuality Press or the other? Actuality Press to get those individual issues when they come out?
Well, I mean, Geek Girl, I'm going to be submitting to Image Comics. The first thing I'm going to be doing when it's done. So that's to be determined who it's going to be coming out from. I mean, it's okay. The artist on it, Carlos Granda, is fantastic, and it's all much bigger scale and more widescreen than issue zero. Issue zero was black and white. This is full color. Got two fantastic colorists on it, so it looks amazing. Which is part of the reason I'm okay with it taking as long as it does, because I couldn't do better than the creative team I have on it. So it will be worth the wait.
Great. Now, there's another book that you do with another female lead. I always like the fact that you do a lot of female characters that are very interesting and pretty varied, and that's Cabracini. Do you want to give the basic premise for Cabracini? Is it Voodoo Hit Woman?
Always Voodoo Junkie Hit Woman.
Hit Woman, okay. Always managed to mess that up. So what's the basic premise behind Cabracini?
Cabracini is an ex-crack whore. Her boyfriend was also her pimp. He used to abuse her. The only way she could finish him would be to literally finish him. Otherwise, she would be stuck in this situation she couldn't escape from. She couldn't bring herself to do that, so she sought a way to sort of defend herself and protect herself, which was she discovered voodoo. She then got into it. Her addictive personality, the voodoo junkie, is not she's a voodoo and a junkie. She's a voodoo junkie. So basically, whereas she was a junkie, she swapped her drug addiction for this addiction to voodoo. So she's got deep into it, warped it to her own ends, has become, as a result of what happens with her pimp/boyfriend, where she does end up, although she employs voodoo, she finds herself in a situation where if she's going to walk away from this, she's going to have to pull the trigger. So she does, and she finds she kind of liked it. So her morality is not the best. Her state of mind is not the best. She may think she's got her act together and she's cleaned up, but she's not aware of the damage she's doing to herself with her voodoo magic. She's found a shortcut to, if she's got a hit on the other side of the world, she can access this dimension called the Infinity, which you can use as a shortcut between where she is and where she wants to go using her magic. But the kind of ruler of the Infinity, the Rook, it doesn't like her doing this. She's effectively trespassing, which is, well, Voodoo Trespass is a debut digital comic which you can get free at theactualitypress.com. So he basically throws everything at her to try and stop her using his dimension the way she does. And this takes its toll on her, as does being a hit woman. But her, because of the situation she's come out of, she feels she's in a better place. So she's not aware of the kind of cracks in the veneer of this new life she's forged for herself and the toll that it's taking both emotionally and physically.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now, how many issues of Cabracini have come out to date?
Well, it's the same sort of situation similar situation to Geek Girl. Cabra has appeared in FX Anthology a few times. So I think there was four Cabra stories in that. That was a black and white anthology. So this, the Voodoo Trespass I referred to, we got that colored, and you can get that as a free digital comic. And then there's the miniseries in the works. The miniseries is further on than Geek Girl, partly because they've got a number of artists working on it, partly due to some of it taking place in different dimensions that facilitates having different art styles to it. So most of the artwork of that is now done. 3+ issues of it are done of the 4-issue miniseries. Got some great covers. Carlos Villa has done an amazing cover, which you can see the picture of Cabra that you see when you go onto the Actuality Press site. That's a sort of a chunk of that, and it looks fantastic. So that's coming on. I mean, there's still a long way to go, a lot of coloring, a lot of lettering to be done, but I'm not, as we've discussed earlier, I'm not going to put any kind of date on it, but it certainly will be coming before Geek Girl, all being well.
Okay. Wasn't there a Halloween special she was in as part of this?
Yeah, I mean, the FX Anthology, which is published by Ham Tramp, Idea Man, that was her kind of thing. They always did a Halloween issue, so that had a regular Cabra slot. I mean, the last one that we did was it was actually at a Halloween party, so she was done up as like sort of the Grim Reaper, and she's on the cover of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not sure if you can still get. I know the physical copy sold out. Mm. Whether you can still get it digitally, I mean, if X, it's IF-X. So if you Google that with Carver Cini, and Cini spelled C-I-N-I, you might be able to get it. So there are other comics out there, other than the debut, but fairly hard to get hold of. They'll require a bit of searching.
Okay, so if we want to keep up with your projects, is that Actuality Press the place to go?
Yeah, the homepage of that links to everything. I mean, this site is newly set up to time with the release of The Almighty Zero, so that's only been up since Wednesday, November the 5th. And yeah, the homepage links to everything. I mean, I've got fan pages for all my books, groups, Facebook groups, my Twitter, my Facebook, and you can get my email there. Anything you want, it's all there.
Very cool. Now, besides these projects, are there other ones that you're working on, or is this keeping you pretty busy?
It is keeping me busy. As an indie creator, a lot of your time is spent on promotions. So it's not a case of, you know, spending however long it takes to put a book together and then the work is done. That's when the real work starts, when it's out there. So, yeah, I mean, also, I've got... Yeah, I mean, basically, these three are my focus at this time, because we've got another Almighty's comic already written. A lot of the artwork's already done, so we hope to have another one out next year. We want it to get to the point where we can do a series, but we want it to make, you know, have the audience built up enough to justify doing that. So, yeah, Carver, I'm constantly editing new color and lettering and art that's coming in for it. So, yeah, those three are my focus at this time. I've actually just today come up with, I've been wanting to do a kind of crossover book of one shot with the Almighty's, and I haven't had the right idea, and it's something that's been at the back of my mind for some time, and I've actually today come up with what I want to do with that. Now, I won't say any more about that at this stage, because I mean, for starters, I've got to talk it over with Mike Gagneau, but yeah, it's Almighty's related, but it will be, as I say, will feature other characters as well.
Great. Well, you're a busy guy, and I always say that I appreciate that you spend a lot of time focused on female characters, because there's just not enough good female characters in comics, so I'm glad that you do that.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is something, because, you know, I've been on your show a few times, and this is something that we regularly touch on, but it has changed that since. Mm-hmm. Marvel have really gone a big push in that direction. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've had She-Hulk, Black Widow, I'm sure there was others out recently, and they've got Squirrel Girl is getting her own book next year, which I think is intended as an ongoing series, which is quite a brave thing to do. But Squirrel Girl is a character that's great fun, and the moniker they've given her is the Unbeatable Squirrel Girl, because she's something like the only person to ever single-handedly defeat Galactus, which I don't know how that happened, but she's a fun character. She's a sort of a friend of Deadpool as well. I mean, she used to be in a team called the Great Lakes Avengers that had some crossovers with Deadpool. So I'm looking forward to that book. That'll be a fun book. And yeah, the Spider-Woman is another one they've just put out. And I think there's another female book which eludes me at the moment that they've got lined up.
Captain Marvel?
Well, no, Captain Marvel has been going a while, but there's another one, as well as Squirrel Girl, that is going to be coming out next year, which is another one that you wouldn't necessarily think is an obvious candidate for their own book. But yeah, they're going, giving that a big push. Oh, of course, we have to mention Miss Marvel, the new Miss Marvel, because that seems to have caught people's imagination. That seems to be doing well. I know the first issue, I think, went to maybe four prints. So, yeah, and there's plans, of course, for Captain Marvel to now have her own movie. So the game's changed with that. I mean, I'm emphasizing Marvel here, because I don't think DC are doing too much in that area. But Marvel, I mean, obviously there's always indies that have female leads. But in terms of the big two, Marvel are the one that are really, really, you know, making a concerted effort in that direction.
Well, I hope that the Wonder Woman movie and the whole business with the Wonder Woman character turns out well, too. So we'll hope. But anytime we have a good female character, I'm real happy, because, as you and I have discussed previously, that needs to happen. We really need to see good, strong female characters.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, well, Sam, you've got the Almighties, you've got Geek Girl and Cabracini, lots of good things to do, and get to your website, and we'll get those books, and we'll support them, and we'll look forward to seeing more from you in the future.
Cool, thank you.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, I'm flesh and blood, I can be ignored, I can be destroyed, but as a symbol...
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
Now at MajorSpoilers.com. And now it's time for my yearly holiday tradition, the playing of Twas the Dark Night Before Christmas. This video is actually available on YouTube. If you go to that site and look up Twas the Dark Night Before Christmas, you'll find it there. It's from the folks who do I'm a Marvel and I'm a DC kind of videos, and there are plenty of them. I think this is one of their first ones. What you really need to know is that there are three voices. The first one is Alfred, the second one, of course, is Batman, and the third one is Santa Claus. And it has an interesting holiday message that I like to communicate. So without any further ado, Twas the Dark Night Before Christmas.
'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through Wayne Manor, not a sound could be heard, especially not laughter. There were no stockings hung and no tree filled with lights, not a single Christmas decoration in sight. Master Bruce in his costume, and I in my robe, were up late on the lookout for evils unknown. I missed Christmas, but he said he didn't have time. None at all ever since the tender age of 9. It saddened me watching him year after year, never taking in joy, only dealing out fear.
I say, sir,
I pleaded with all of my might.
Master Grayson is having a party tonight. Master Drake and Ms. Gordon are sure to be there. Why not leave this bleak cave and enjoy some fresh air?
I've outgrown Christmas, Alfred,
he answered each year.
You can go if you want to, but I'm needed here.
I sighed and walked upstairs to turn off the lights.
Merry Christmas,
I said. His reply was,
good night.
I walked up to my bedroom, got under my sheets, and prepared to drift off into sweet, peaceful sleep.
Suddenly, a noise woke me up with such a clatter, I ran to my window for more on the matter. And what should my wandering eyes happen to find but a man in a sleigh with 8 reindeer... No, 9! I was off to tell Master Bruce what I had spied. The fat man in the sleigh was in for a surprise. But it was my surprise. He had beaten me there. Just how fast was this man who could sled through the air?
Who are you?
Master Bruce yelled, demanding to know. The fat man's belly shook as he laughed.
Ho, ho, ho! Don't you know?
He asked, giving his heels a click.
Santa Claus, Father Christmas, Kris Kringle, Saint Nick!
The Batman moved slowly, not wanting to harm him.
Right, Santa. Let me take you back home to Arkham.
But the man disappeared. He was gone in a flash, leaving only some traces of old soot and ash. Suddenly, he was back just as soon as he'd left. This man was indeed quite fast in spite of his heft.
I've come here in peace,
said the man.
Have no fear,
Batman said.
Then explain to me why you've come here.
The jolly man laughed.
Christmas time is at hand. I bring gifts of joy to everyone in the land. The good people come to me with their requests for their heart's desire, and I do my best.
I need and want nothing from you,
Batman said.
Go and take to the streets of Gotham with your sled.
The man in red snickered and gave him a wink.
The person I'm here for is not who you think. I've no gift for you, though you've done much good, it's true. But the present I'm bringing tonight, well, is you. For when it comes to Christmas, you just disappear, and you leave behind all of the friends you hold dear.
Bruce said,
hold on a minute now. That isn't true. I give plenty of presents at Christmas. I do. Gifts of cash, food, drink, clothes, anything I can find. So then how can you say that I leave them behind?
Giving gifts is something for which you've had a knack. But the spirit of Christmas is still what you lack. Your gifts are all sent, none given face to face, and you've never even accepted an embrace. If you're given a gift, you just turn it away, denying your friends what their hearts want to say.
I know all of their feelings, and they all know mine. Gifts are simply a symbol for which I've no time.
Well, Christmas is a time for which I've always felt. Allowing others in. Let your defenses melt.
My defenses are fine.
Batman furrowed his brow.
It's just a sign of weakness to let them go down.
Santa sighed.
I have never, as long as I've lived, had to teach 'tis better to receive than to give. I came here to open up your heart and your mind. You're determined to keep them both closed up, I find. You're just too filled with anger and pain and regret. Probably about both of your parents, I bet. You'd tell them you loved them if you could somehow, just like all of your friends want to tell you right now. Oh, the gift of allowing love to be expressed is one of the greatest gifts that one can get. For the past is behind us, the future unknown, and the moment is all that we have to call home. And so, now I leave you with this to think on.
And with that, this St. Nicholas fellow was gone. The master was silent. He was lost in thought. I wondered if this was what that fat man sought.
Alfred,
he said sharply, giving me a fright.
You mentioned something about a party tonight.
Soon we were dressed and ready and out on our way. Surely this was a miracle, one had to say. He had come bearing gifts and was going inside when he stopped to look up because he had spied that Santa Claus fellow, I exclaimed in the dark.
Master Bruce simply smiled, looked up, and said,
Thanks, Clark.
And I heard Batman say as he walked out of sight,
Merry Christmas to all. Well, at least for tonight.
I hope you're enjoying a wonderful holiday season, and that you'll be back next week when I'll have another great interview with another terrific comics creator. But until then, keep reading your comics.